Theresa May once more asks for a Brexit delay, and this time extends an olive branch.
This debate, this division, cannot drag on much longer.
Plus, Chicago becomes the biggest American city to elect a black woman as mayor.
We let our faith overcome our fears.
And preliminary data from the black boxes of Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 shows the pilots did follow Boeing's steps. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our big story of the morning, our reporting on some preliminary data from the black boxes of the Boeing 737 MAX plane that crashed a few weeks ago. I want to mention here it hasn't yet officially been released. Here's what you missed overnight. A day after British politicians once more rejected an array of possible Brexit withdrawal plans, Theresa May said she would now ask for a further delay to Brexit. In order to break a months-long deadlock, she also said she was willing to strike a deal with the opposition leader, Labour's Jeremy Corbyn.
I'm offering to sit down with the leader of the opposition and to try to agree a plan that we would both stick to ensure that we leave the European Union and that we do so with a deal.
Since we are two nations separated by a common language, a quick translation for you. Many observers say that this move by the Prime Minister means that the UK is heading towards a softer Brexit, one that keeps the country closer to the EU in terms of trade and migration. And overnight, Chicago became the biggest American city to elect a black woman as mayor, Democrat Lori Lightfoot. She's also the city's first openly gay mayor. Here's a little bit from her victory speech.
Out there tonight, a lot of little girls and boys are watching. They're watching us. And they're seeing the beginning of something, well, a little bit different.
A bit more about her. She's a former federal prosecutor who vowed to take on Chicago's political machine. And she's got a big job ahead of her. Chicago is grappling with violence and a lack of trust in police, a declining population, and, as we were talking about yesterday, massive unfunded pension liabilities. Plus, recycling, it's a problem for all of us, but now the issue is hitting Procter & Gamble particularly hard. The company's facing a growing backlash over how to dispose of used sanitary pads and diapers. P&G owns the Pampers and Always brands, which of course contain single-use plastic. That's become a big issue in Europe, as well as India, which is also a big growth market for the company. Now, our main story this morning, some new developments into what we know about what caused a Boeing 737 MAX plane, Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, to crash nearly a month ago. Robert Wall is our aerospace correspondent, and he's here just to explain what we know, what we don't know. Now, Robert, the official black box data hasn't yet been released. So what is it that we're reporting?
So there's been a few things that have come out in the last few days about what probably happened on the Ethiopian Air crash last month. Perhaps the most interesting new development is that the pilots of the Ethiopian flight tried to turn off this MCAS system that everyone's been focusing on since the Lion Air crash.
So this is this anti-stall technology, right? And it's new in this Boeing model.
It's different in this Boeing model. And it is a more sophisticated system. It is more, you could say, perhaps more invasive. And it is what triggered in the Lion Air crash and pushed the nose of the plane down, from which the pilots there last October were unable to recover. So the real interesting development and the nuance is after the Lion Air crash, Boeing put out a procedure saying, look, when you have this problem, turn the box off. So it looks like these guys turned the box off, couldn't recover, and then turned it back on.
So if this technology is found to be at fault, what does it mean for Boeing? What does it mean for the Federal Aviation Administration, which approved the technology?
To be quite honest, that's a bit unclear. If the pilots turned off the box and then were still unable to recover, why was that the case? Because that then suggests that the procedure the manufacturer was recommending may not have been adequate, or it may not have been clear. Maybe there was a sequence of events, steps that people had to take that weren't intuitive to the pilots. It certainly adds to questions to both Boeing and the Federal Aviation Administration why were they okay with the system the way it was, and why were they okay with the training?
So what next? What are we waiting for?
Yeah, so basically what we're really waiting for now is for the Ethiopians to issue their interim report. Generally, the standard is you're supposed to issue one within 30 days. The crash was March 10th. They have a few more days. And there's been some frustration in the U.S. That there hasn't been more pace to this. But I think this development actually highlights why this interim report may be taking a bit longer. This is not a straightforward thing. This is not just lie and error repeated. So, you don't want to put something out that's unclear. I mean, this is an important safety issue.
On to markets. We mentioned Walgreens Boots yesterday. They were expected to report their earnings. And just a quick update, they really disappointed. In fact, they cut their outlook for the year, which led their shares to fall by 13%. Here's Quentin Webb with what else we're paying attention to today.
Futures are pointing to a higher open for US markets today after a strong performance in Asia and with some positive economic noises from China, where a private indicator tracking the services sector has advanced to a 14-month high. One data point that the Fed and the rest of the market will be watching closely today is the ADP report on private employment. That will be followed in 2 days' time by even more influential official non-farm payrolls.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to for the rest of the day. Now, it's no secret that President Donald Trump hasn't been pleased with the decisions made by his chosen Federal Reserve Chair, Jay Powell. You might remember this from last October.
I think the Fed is out of control. I think what they're doing is wrong.
Back then, President Trump was angered by the Fed's decision to continue to raise interest rates. Now, we're reporting that even though the Fed has indefinitely paused raising rates, President Trump is still unhappy with Mr. Powell. In a previously unreported conversation in early March, he's reported to have told the Fed chair, "I guess I'm stuck with you." So it's worth keeping an eye on what the market makes of the continuing tension between the White House and the Fed. And later today, some of the parents at the heart of the $25 million college admission scandal are set to appear in court. That includes Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. We report it's a fast-moving case with some parents already seeking plea deals. And in Washington, negotiators from China and the U.S. are meeting in an effort to resolve the year-long trade dispute between the world's two biggest economies. Both sides have already said that they'd like to see a compromise reached by the end of April. Already, the easing of tensions has helped propel global stocks higher. A fun market fact for you, though, as ever, take it with a grain of salt, the S&P 500 is off to its best start to a year since 1998. Finally, Sears might be bankrupt and shutting stores, but its rewards program, Shop Your Own Way, is perhaps the best out there. I'm frankly jealous of the people we're reporting on today. One woman bought $150 worth of clothes for just $18. Do you have a good rewards program hack? Let us know. Tweet us at WSJ Podcasts. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening. Now get to work.